Hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. My name is Justin Coffin, and we are on the Youngstown Studio Network. I obviously am not in studio today, but recording remotely. This will be a little bit of a shorter podcast, but hopefully still get you your Browns and Buckeyes and Cavaliers news and notes from the past weekend. So let's start with sort of the bad news from the weekend. Let's start with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns just got beat up by the New England Patriots this weekend. They started well. That first drive went down, scored a touchdown, up 7-0. The Patriots then proceed to go on a 45-0 run and win the game, a lot to a little, 45-7. The Browns were just absolutely embarrassed, outplayed, outcoached, just beaten by a man at every position. So they fall to 5-5 on the season in just an unfortunate game in New England. Baker got banged up again. Obviously, you didn't have Nick Chubb, but, you know, you didn't have Kareem Hunt either. You didn't have Demetric Felton, but you know what? Or Jack Conklin. So I guess the Browns were without a lot of pieces, but still no excuse for the result that that happened on Sunday. And, you know, the Browns are sort of the Forrest Gump box of chocolates this year. You never know what you're going to get. You know, some games it's awesome. You get a great performance. You know, the offense is clicking, the defense is rolling, much like last week. And then we have games like Sunday this year where you just are like, is this even the same team? I don't know who I'm watching this year. So very mysterious, some of the performances and outcomes this year. But the Browns still have time, luckily, to get it together. If we look at the breakdown of the stats and matchup from this past weekend, the Patriots just thoroughly dominated. Like I said, man-to-man, they beat the Browns straight up and obviously on the statistical categories too. 30 first downs to 17, you know, total plays, total yards, 452 to 217. Yards per play, 7.3 to 3.7, 268 passing yards for the Patriots to 118 for the Browns, 9.6 yards a pass. So they tripled the average yard a pass from the Browns, which was 3.1. Browns, Baker threw a pick, Mac Jones did not. The Browns were sacked five times. They only got to Mac Jones twice. And the Patriots beat them at their own game. They rushed for 184 yards, while the Browns only had 99, and I think 61 of those were on the opening drive. 5.4 yards a rush for the Patriots, but the Browns just got so far behind early on that they you know, kind of gave up on the running game a little bit too early. The Patriots were 5-6 in the red zone. Again, they won the turnover battle and time of possession. So just an overall just beatdown of the Patriots, or by the Patriots, of the Browns. The Browns, again, 2-4 in their last six games after starting 3-1 in their first four games. So the offensive woes continue this past week. You know, we had a nice showing against the Bengals last week. However, 17 points or less in five of the last seven games. We have 14 against Minnesota in a win, 14 against Arizona. Seven of those, though, were on a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. 17 in a win against Denver. Only 10 against Pittsburgh in a game where if you score one more time, you win that game. And only 7 against New England, which those 7 came on the opening drive. So just a very dismal performance by the Browns. Also, interesting stat I saw from ESPN on Monday morning. The Browns are 0-14 when outrushed by 50 or more yards with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. And in those losses, their average loss is 17 points. So when the Browns get beat at their own game, it's generally not a good day. All right, moving on to Baker Mayfield. You know, I don't know what it is right now with him. Obviously, he has a torn labrum in his shoulder, which is going to affect him. You know, I give him credit because he is very tough, but he has really, really struggled this year. I'm not sure if it's, again, if it's the injury or if it's a mental thing or what it is, but it's really affecting his performance. He still hasn't hit the 2,000-yard mark in 9 games this season in, obviously, a pass-heavy league. The Browns are, you know, rely on the run game a lot, but he ranks 22nd overall in passing yards this season. 9 touchdowns this year is all, which puts him 24th out of all the quarterbacks. 4 interceptions, which is good, which is the 4th fewest in the NFL. But a 42.9 QBR, to put that in perspective, I believe Matt Stafford is the highest ranked quarterback, you know, at least coming into this week. And he was around the 70 mark in that score. So Baker Mayfield is, again, 25th this year in QBR. So quarterbacks ahead of them: Matt Stafford, Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Dak Prescott, Pat Mahomes, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Jacoby Brissett, Teddy Bridgewater, and Daniel Jones. So a lot of names ahead of him. Obviously, a few that are going to be your elite quarterbacks, but, you know, you don't want to be 25th in QBR if you expect to be in the playoffs. So Baker Mayfield's really got to improve his overall quality of play. And the Browns, consistently inconsistent is a big theme on the defensive end this year. Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator, could be on the hot seat. A lot of people in Cleveland are not very happy with his lack of in-game adjustments, especially this past weekend. But again, this is a defense that has so much talent and a lot of times shows it, but so many times doesn't. So Myles Garrett really had an eye-opening quote in the post-game press conference after the New England game. He said, "We didn't make any adjustments against the Patriots to beat them." So, I mean, you know, that kind of says it all right there. That kind of is saying, hey, you know, our coaches, our players didn't do the job. Probably not something that should have been said in the media, but an eye-opening statement nonetheless. Again, the Browns were up 7-0 in this game. Patriots going to score 45 consecutive points. 7 of those were kind of freebies on a Baker interception that was, you know, taken down to about the 3-yard line. But the defense, the Jekyll and Hyde, the consistently inconsistent play has looked great at times against the Bears, against the Vikings, against the Cardinals, or I'm sorry, against the Bears, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Steelers. You only gave up 15 points in that game, should have won, and against the Bengals. So the defense, on the other hand, though, has given up 33 points to Kansas City, 42 points to the Chargers, 37 points to the Cardinals, and 45 now to the Patriots. So again, consistently inconsistent. You have to start figuring it out and start being week in, week out, a better, more consistent defense, especially with a struggling offense right now. Credit where credit's due. Give credit to Bill Belichick, obviously, probably the greatest to ever do it, especially in the NFL. Career 286 wins now, 286 and 140, including 31-12 in the playoffs. Obviously started his career way back when with the Browns, 1991 to 95, 36-44 in those years with the Browns, 1 playoff appearance, and actually beat the New England Patriots and lost to the Steelers in the playoffs in his time there. Since taking over the Patriots in the year 2000 to current, he is 250, 96, and has made 17 playoff appearances, and six of those 17 playoff appearances have ended up in Super Bowl victories. All right, here's what the Browns have done and what's looking ahead for them right now. So we're sitting at 5-5. Again, that's the perfectly consistently inconsistent Cleveland Browns. Start the season 3-1. Last six games, now you're 4-6. It's kind of just, you know, it's a mess. And so you end up 5-5. So right now we're looking ahead to the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are 0-8-1. They did tie the Pittsburgh Steelers this past weekend, but they are a team you cannot take lightly. They can run the ball a little bit. You know, they have some nice players, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, but they are a team that really has nothing to lose and will get after you. And you can see what they've done. They took Baltimore all the way to the end. They nearly beat Pittsburgh. You know, and they've been in a few other games this weekend. So you can't say, all right, well, two of our next three games are against the Ravens. You have to go out and take care of business on Sunday against the Lions, or those other games mean nothing. So the Browns will have every other team in the AFC North on their schedule still. Four of their remaining seven games will be against AFC North foes. So you have two against the Ravens, one against the Bengals, and one against the Steelers, and kind of, you know, mixed in there, you got the Raiders and the Packers. So not an easy schedule for the Browns, but I think it's possible for them to go 5-2, and that's what they're going to have to do to get into the playoffs. So real quick look at the AFC playoff picture. I have eliminated four teams just by my thinking. I think the Jaguars are out. I think the Texans are out. I think the Dolphins, even though they had a nice upset win over the Ravens, are out. And I think the New York Jets are out. So with that said, the AFC leader is the Tennessee Titans. They have 8 wins, 8-2 on the season. No other team has more than 6 wins in the AFC. So the Titans at 8-2, the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens both at 6-3. Kansas City Chiefs, who have won the AFC the last 2 years, were in last place in the AFC West, have now catapulted all the way up to the top, and they are sitting at 6-4 at top of the AFC West. So those are your four division leaders right now. Again, it's the Titans, the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. And then in the playoffs right now, if they started today, which they don't, are the Pittsburgh Steelers, New England Patriots, and LA Chargers. And then look at this, like in the hunt, you have Vegas at 5-4, the Bengals at 5-4, the Colts at 5-5, the Browns at 5-5, and Denver at 5-5. So 12 teams with 5 or more victories in the AFC, very bunched up. But, you know, if the Browns, that's who we're focused on, can handle their business, they can get in the playoffs. Same with the Steelers, same with the Bengals. You know, all these teams have a chance to make the playoffs. So it's going to be a wild ride down these last 7 or 8 games in the season. Let's do a real quick week 10 wrap up with the AFC North. Steelers moved to 5-3-1 in a tie with the 0-8-1 Detroit Lions. Interesting quote by Najee Harris, though. He said, "I didn't know you could tie in the NFL." You know, that conjures up some thoughts of I believe it was Donovan McNabb way back when they tied. I think it was actually Cincinnati they tied. And he said, I didn't know you could tie in the NFL. He said, well, that would make for a really weird Super Bowl if, you know, it ended up in a tie, which obviously the Super Bowl or playoff games can't end in a tie. Only regular season games can. But that's just, you know, classic quote there. But next up for the Steelers, they go to LA and take on the Chargers. That's going to be a tough matchup for the Steelers. The Ravens, as I mentioned, will play the Chicago Bears coming up this weekend, but they were upset by the Miami Dolphins last Thursday. So, you know, the Ravens, you know, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get some weeks from them. They got blown out by the Bengals. They get blown out they get beat up, let's say, by the Dolphins. But, you know, they come back from behind against the Chiefs. They come back from behind against, you know, some other teams. And just, you know, they're a team, too, that's kind of a mystery this year. And the Bengals were on bye this past weekend. They will take on the Las Vegas Raiders in a tough game for them this coming weekend. And the Browns, I mentioned, they are the Jekyll and Hyde team, in my opinion, of the NFL this year. They are 5-5. Can they finish 5-2? As I mentioned, I think they can. However, you must take care of business at home against the Detroit Lions this weekend, or you have no shot. So I don't think they can finish 5-1. But if you can win this weekend, you know, take care of that. And then I think they can very well finish 4-2 if they win this game this weekend. You know, three of those remaining six games after this week will be against, actually four of those remaining six games on the schedule will be against, two against the Ravens, 1-1 with the Bengals and Steelers, with the Raiders and the Packers mixed in there. Let's switch gears. College football. Buckeyes derail Purdue this weekend, 59-31. Just absolutely blow out the Boilermakers. Just a fantastic offensive performance. So Buckeyes by the numbers. The number four Buckeyes, 59. Purdue, 31. Buckeyes moved to 9-1 overall, 7-0 in the Big Ten. Purdue falls to 6-4, 4-3 in the Big Ten. We're going to go, our top five Tuesday in a minute is going to dive into our, you know, our major weapons this year on offense for the Buckeyes. So our quarterback, our three receivers, and our stud tailback. So we're going to talk about those guys here in a minute. We'll jump in to their stats. But Mayan Williams, quick shout out to him. Backup tailback, 14 rushes, 117 yards. Garrett Wilson in this game also had one rush for 51 yards and a touchdown. Ohio State puts up 624 yards of total offense. 45 points in at the half, scoring on all seven possessions, and scored on their first drive of the second half, so scored on their first eight drives of the game. All right, looking real quick at the Big Ten scoreboard, Purdue, obviously, as I mentioned, falls to the Buckeyes, 59-31. Michigan goes into Happy Valley and saddens the Nittany Lions, 21-17. Michigan, you know, still record-wise looking really strong. We'll see them in a couple weeks in Ann Arbor. Maryland and Michigan State. Michigan State is also having a great year. Michigan State wins that game, though, 40-21. Northwestern having a very disappointing down year after winning the Big Ten West last year. Wisconsin seems to kind of be finding its footing there. They win this game 35-7. Minnesota, they've been a roller coaster team this year. For a while, you thought they might win the Big Ten West, but they fall to the Iowa Hawkeyes 27-22 in Iowa City. Rutgers beats up on the Indiana Hoosiers, who the Indiana Hoosiers might be the most disappointing team in the Big Ten. Rutgers beats them this week 38-3. Bye weeks this week were Illinois and Nebraska. All right, so let's look at what's ahead for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Buckeyes currently sitting at number four in the college football playoff rankings. Number seven, Michigan State, will come to Columbus this coming weekend. Senior Day in Columbus, going to be a big game for, you know, the team in general, but especially those seniors who will be playing their last game at the Horseshoe. You know, you take care of business. And Mel Tucker, by the way, will have his team ready to play. We'll talk more about that game on Thursday. If you take care of business, you head up north, you take on that team up north who is sitting at the number six spot in the college football rankings. Buckeyes will head to Ann Arbor the Saturday after Thanksgiving. If you can take care and handle your business in those games, you will end up in the Big Ten title game, which is played in Indianapolis. You will most likely face either Wisconsin or Iowa. Wisconsin's currently sitting at number 18, Iowa at number 20. But whoever wins the Big Ten, if they have one loss, they will be in. So that's going to be a Big Ten East champion. If they are in, if they, you know, get in with one loss, they should be fine to make the college football playoff. All right. Let's look at last weekend's results in the top 10 from last week's college football playoff poll. So Georgia wins easily over Tennessee. Bama wins. Bama was actually down 3-0, scores the next 59, wins 59-3 over New Mexico State. Oregon struggled for a little while, but defeats Washington State 38-24. They got a big one this coming week at Utah. We talked about Ohio State. Cincinnati beats up, you know, beat South Florida by 17, but South Florida is not a very good team this year. Cincinnati hasn't looked good the last couple of weeks, but they still do have that big win at Notre Dame, which is going to help their resume going forward. Michigan, we talked about their win at Happy Valley, 21-17. Michigan State, we talked about their win at Maryland, 40-21. Oklahoma, who the committee didn't think very highly of as an undefeated team, was in the eighth spot. But, you know, maybe they showed their true colors. They lost at Baylor in Waco, Texas, 27-14. So that will probably, for all intents and purposes, probably knock the Big 12 out of the college football playoff for this season. Notre Dame also gets another big win at Virginia, 28-3. They're sitting in the ninth spot currently. They will move up, and Oklahoma State wins versus TCU, wins big, 63-17. They are the Big 12's probably last and best hope, you know, but they got to hope for, you know, just chaos the rest of the season. So rankings come out tonight. What I think it will be, I think Georgia obviously is going to stay at the number one spot. Alabama, I think, will be stick at number two, and Oregon at number three. Ohio State at four. Cincinnati, I think, will be at five. Michigan State and Michigan, you could flip a coin with either of those two, but I personally put Michigan State ahead because they have the head-to-head win versus Michigan. But, you know, what I think and what the committee thinks, it might be totally different. And again, it really doesn't matter because it's all going to play out. Notre Dame is in the eighth spot, in my opinion. Oklahoma State will move up to number nine. And I think Wake Forest or possibly Baylor will move up to the number 10 spot. So we will see those rankings come out tonight, and we'll see how accurate we are. All right, let's do our top five Tuesday. So I'm just going to do a deep dive, or a real quick deep dive into the Buckeyes and some of their playmakers. Now, first of all, I want to say the Buckeyes offensive line, you know, you have Luke Whipler at center. You have two tackles on the outside in Nicholas Petit-Frere, and you have Thayer Mumford at guard. You have, I know I'm going to forget somebody. You have DeJuan Jones, and I always am going to forget somebody, but the Ohio State offensive line is a dominant front. They're going to do some, they're already doing some great things, and there's a good chance that four, if not all five of those guys up front will be in the NFL playing on Sundays very, very soon. And let's not forget about Jeremy Ruckert either, because he does a lot of the dirty work and does a lot of blocking, but he is still a very skilled tight end who we set the over under at 29.5 catches this year. I think he's around the 24, 25 mark. So it looks like he's going to hit our over for catches by a tight end, which would be the most in many, many years for the Buckeyes. But let's look at C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, the odds-on favorite currently for the Heisman Trophy. He finished 31 of 38 this past Saturday, 361 yards, five touchdowns, zero interceptions, putting his 2021 stats. Now, remember, he did miss a game versus Akron, but he has 3,036 yards on the season, almost completing 69% of his passes, 30 touchdowns, five interceptions on the season. So a 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio on the season. And remember, this kid is a redshirt freshman who got very, very little playing time because you got an NFL quarterback playing this position last year, and there wasn't a whole lot of time in the COVID year for him to get, some garbage time reps. Let's look at who he's throwing the ball to. Let's start with kind of the veteran of the group, Chris Olave, number two. He had 9 receptions, 85 yards, and a touchdown on Saturday. But for his career, 33 career touchdowns, which puts him second, one behind David Boston's 34 of all time. He keeps inching up the career yardage. He is sitting at 2,493 total yards, receiving yards in his career, which is 6th all time. Has a good chance to get up in the top 3, if not higher, by the end of the season. In career receptions, again, he keeps on inching up that board and has a good shot to, get in the top, 3-4 of that with 162. So Chris Olave, so smooth, is your deep threat, but also does a lot of just great things. Probably your best route runner as well. Will be a great addition for an NFL team next season. Garrett Wilson, probably the best overall wide receiver the Buckeyes have. He will probably be the first wide receiver taken in the NFL draft next season. He wears number 5 for the Buckeyes, but he's just an absolute crazy, freakish athlete. Can go up and get it, as you see in this picture, but he can also, just a great route runner, do a lot of different things, including this past weekend, he had 1 carry for 51 yards and a touchdown, but in the game, he also had 10 receptions, 126 yards, and 4 overall touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdowns. For the season, 53 receptions, 813 yards, 9 touchdowns from the Buckeyes wideout. And then sort of the new kid on the block is Jackson Smith-Njigba, number 11, JSN. This past weekend, 9 receptions, 139 yards, 1 touchdown. He has sort of become the security blanket for C.J. Stroud. Looks for him very often. 59 catches this year, 1,025 yards, and 5 touchdowns on the season. The Buckeyes. Look to have 3 possible 1,000-yard receivers on their team and 3 potential first-round draft picks in the wide receiver room. Olave and Wilson will be first-rounders, I believe, next year in the draft. But JSN has at least 1 more year with the Buckeyes after this season and should compete to be a first-round pick next season or the following season. Let's check in with Travion Henderson. Travion Henderson is an absolute stud, true freshman running back. We want to call him a workhorse, but, oftentimes he doesn't have to be because, Ohio State builds such big leads in certain games this year. But this past Saturday, 13 carries, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7.5 yards carry, putting him at 1,035 total rushing yards on the season, 17 total touchdowns on the season, which puts him 1 behind Maurice Clarett's true freshman record of 18 touchdowns in a season. And again, give credit to those offensive linemen up front because they are doing a fantastic job to give Stroud plenty of time to throw and also open up holes for the running backs. And finally, let's check in with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're sitting at 9-6, but some news for the Cavs, some good, some bad. But the Cavs this past weekend went 2-1 over the weekend, beat Detroit on Friday, and came back from 19 points down on Saturday night to beat the Celtics, but did fall to Boston last night. But they had many, many guys out missing. They're holding opponents to 101.3 points per game, which is 2nd in the NBA, only behind the Denver Nuggets. But they are a little bit banged up right now. Colin Sexton, torn meniscus about a week and a half or so ago, will be out for probably at least 2 more weeks. Evan Mobley, last night in the game, kind of had a freakish elbow injury. Nothing serious, but it will cause him to miss at least 2 weeks, if not up to a month of action. And it's too bad because he really has looked like the rookie of the year this year and just been an absolute force on the boards or as a rim protector and also finishing, but he can also hit the three-point ball. So that will be a big loss for the Cavs these next couple weeks. And they're going to have to really pick it up some of their other bigs. Kevin Love, he should return from the COVID list this week, kind of getting back in shape from being out for a couple weeks. Jared Allen, potential all-star for the Cavs this year, missed last night's game and will be out on Wednesday with an undisclosed illness. Fingers crossed it is not COVID. I don't know, but we will hope best case scenario for him. Lauri Markkanen is still in COVID protocols, but hopes to return soon. So those are 3 7-footers, 3 starters for the Cavs, actually 4 starters for the Cavs right now, possibly out. And Lamar Stevenson, who is a defensive role player for the Cavs, is day-to-day right now. And the Cavs' schedule does them no favors. Wednesday night, they play at Brooklyn, who is 10-4 and first place in the Eastern Conference. Thursday night, they return home. They will play Golden State, who is 11-2 and first place in the Western Conference. And then again, you get Brooklyn at home on Monday. So schedule makers doing no favors for the Cavs, and the injury bug right now doing no favors for the Cavs. So hopefully they can get healthy, get well, and get back into contention. They're sitting at 9-6, which is, I believe, is fourth place in the Eastern Conference right now. They look to be a team on the rise, but again, injuries they can kind of derail what you think you might have going on. So anyway, appreciate you guys for listening. We will be back on Thursday. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at 330 Sports Show. Make sure to subscribe to Youngstown Studios Facebook and YouTube pages. And we will be back on Thursday with Andrew DiPaolo of WFMJ. We'll break down Michigan State, Ohio State this weekend, and the Browns and Detroit this coming weekend. So have a great day, and we will talk to you guys on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.